Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Love this show. Love doing this show. 17 years now. Some friends have come by. Two of them, Lisa Aye from Sobo in Tofino and her two Sobo cookbooks, and Ned Bell, who's on Mount Washington doing a seafood festival that he's hosted for years, but they're on the top of Mount Washington this very day and tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. Both of them are coming by. When we did those interviews, they immediately went to the Mulligan's Tube podcast and our YouTube channel. So they've enjoyed their time there, but Tasting Room Radio wants them to visit. The two new interviews are Graham Pierce from Ruby Blues, that wonderful little vineyard and winery on the Naramata Bench. It's the one with the Volkswagen in front that looks like it was painted by John Lennon. Graham has a great history in the Okanagan. He started at Summerhill, then Mount Boucherie. 10 years, he made Nota Bene at Black Hills. There's his credential right there. That's his calling card. And then he moved on to Thyme and Kitsch and now Ruby Blues. What a place. And we're going to taste some of his wines and just talk in general how things are going. We're going to talk about Syrahs, actually, because he has a reserve Syrah that's fantastic. And he's made Syrah in the Golden Mile area, the Black Sage Road in the South Okanagan. And now he's made it north of McIntyre Bluff. And we're going to talk about those two unique areas and the differences in those Syrah. And then finally, we start this show with Garen Elms, who is the president and the winemaker at Lake Breeze on the Naramata Bench. And his Syrah was awarded the Best Wine of the Year at the Lieutenant Governor Awards on June the 9th. A remarkable Syrah. There's not a lot of it, so if you have a bottle, hold on to it. So that's how we start, with Garen Elms from Lake Breeze and his Wine of the Year. You can find all the details on the wines at tastingroomradio.com. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. They invite you to join them for the Okanagan Spring Wine Festival Wine Flights and Local Bites until June the 25th. And a reminder to mark your calendars for the Okanagan Fall Wine Festival, October 27 to 31 and November 1 through 5. And you want to keep an eye on their events page. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com. He is the winemaker and the president of Lake Breeze on the Naramata Bench. He's Garen Elms, has joined us on the show. I'm here to, with belated congratulations on the 2020 Syrah for winning Wine of the Year at the BC Lieutenant Governor Awards. I was talking to you about it, myself and DJ Kearney, at the Vancouver Wine Festival, and we certainly couldn't tell you. Did we give any hints? Did you think that you might be winning?
You dropped enough little tidbits that I thought we were in with a shot. But I mean, obviously I didn't know that. I didn't know that for sure. But yeah, we're all, everyone at the winery is super happy. We all loved that wine from day one. So we're really happy to see it get recognized.
You did describe it as a fantastic, right from the get go. It was a fantastic wine. And I also asked you, just as we were parting, say, if you do happen to win, what would you tell the people on June the 9th in Kelowna? And did they get more out of you on the night?
Actually, I sent Victor, who's our second winemaker, I sent him to go and pick up the award. Not 100% sure what he said. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he said more than me. But I mean, I'll just reiterate that, you know, it's not just me and it's not just Victor. You know, we've got a whole team of people at the winery. Great vineyard crew, great vineyard manager. So there's a lot of us that put time and effort into making a wine like that.
You did win the same award, if I'm not mistaken, 2018.
Yes, we won for our 2016 Pinot Noir.
So I was going to ask you, what effect did it have on Lake Breeze in 2018, and what effect could winning this prize in 2023 have?
I suppose the one downside of winning these things is it seems to always happen to wines that I have fairly low production on.
Yes.
Obviously it helps to sell wine, and the wine sells out pretty quickly. Something like the Syrah, you know, we only make about 300 or 400 cases a year. Pinot Noir, maybe about 400 cases a year. So obviously those disappear very quickly. just getting the name out there and just putting it in people's faces that, you know, we've always made really good wines, and just reminding them that that the wines, both red and white, are excellent, and any award like this helps with that.
I remember you saying that it was 1 or 2 tons from that acre on the bench for the Syrah, and the Pinot Gris and the Pinot Blanc are from 4 different sites, all on the bench.
All our fruit is now from the bench. Okay. We lease 70 acres on the bench. So we grow all our own fruit, and whatever is left over, we sell to other wineries. But yeah, everything is now on the grown on the bench.
Is this your favorite? If I'm ask you to talk about...
out of the whites this year, yeah. I would say yes. I think that the 22 Pinot Blanc, I think, is one of the best Pinot Blancs we've made, certainly yes, in the last 5 years. We've experimented with different things in the past, but, you know, I've come to the conclusion that Pinot Blanc is best if it's just left alone. As far as I'm concerned with our style of Pinot Blanc anyway, it's actually best if it's in the bottle for a year. We got some good acidity in there, and then after a year, it just starts to build that texture on the palate, but nice. Maintains the freshness.
This is a 2022, by the way. How long do I have to hold on to it to get that?
Well, the wine's designed for early drinking, yeah, but sure. I would say it's probably going to be at its best come spring next year.
Okay, because I gave it about 27 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep the empty bottle, the half bottle that long.
No. what's the apple that I'm – oh, the Granny Smith. I just love the notes in it. I love the minerality. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, Pinot Blanc for me, I always kind of describe as fruit salad. There's all sorts of fruit in there. You know, Granny Smith's pretty predominant, but there's little bits of citrus. There's lots of tropical fruits like pears and peaches as well. That would be the Gris.
I know. I wanted to get it up in front because the Gris is a wonderful companion to the Pinot Blanc. It's clean pear and apple, a wonderful mouthfeel. What was the process?
Well, similar. They're very similar wine stylistically. Again, you know, we're trying to keep the fruit as clean as humanly possible. So stainless, cold stainless ferments, staying far away from barrels, and just trying to get that typical kind of Pinot Gris spiciness that you find in a lot of Naramata bench Gris, just trying to get that into the bottle. But yeah, again, in terms of acidity and balance and stuff, a very similar wine to what the Pinot Blanc is.
Garin Elms from Lake Breeze, winner of Wine of the Year, the Lieutenant Governor Awards. I want to go back to the Syrah for just a second, because we had a conversation, the judges, the Syrahs that we liked, that we found, eventually revealed, because they were all blind, most of them had come from north of McIntyre Bluff.
That doesn't surprise me at all. It's when Syrah kind of first started being made in the Okanagan, I think a lot of people thought, oh, it's only ever going to do well, in a Soyuz in warmer
exactly.
areas.
But, yep.
A lot of the best Syrahs in the world are coming from cooler regions. For me personally, you know, that nice soft tannic structure and the beautiful clean fruit is something that comes, you know, for me, between kind of Penticton and Kelowna, although some people probably shoot me for saying that.
Oh man, do you have friends in the south? Because there's noses out of joint. There are noses out of joint.
Well, very different wines, right? And that just, you know, that just comes from, sure. You know, those warmer degree days and the lower acidities and things. They're just different wines. For me personally, I prefer the styles that we get from kind of the central Okanagan.
Garin Elms, by the way, from Lake Breeze. One of the things, comments that I made was, what was going on with the Meritage? Some that very much earned their right to be there. I think it may be because it's a blend. It has more human involvement, more winemaker involvement, and you get to make your choices and what is the blend. Your Meritage works for me here, right here. This is fantastic. And your blend was 48 Merlot, 25 Cab Franc, 22 Cab, 5 Malbec, and that's it.
Yeah, no Petit Verdot.
No.
there are a lot of people out there that just seem to be throwing leftovers into a bottle.
Leftovers, exactly.
And calling it a Meritage. Yeah, for us, the Meritage, we wanted to try and come up with a wine where we could compete with some of the larger guys when it came to glass pours with restaurants. So the idea behind the Meritage was, you know, to try and make the best possible combination of those varieties for, you know, $26-$27 in that region.
What's the aging potential for this Meritage?
That wine should easily go, another 8 to 10 years easily.
And did I ask you what the aging potential of the Syrah is?
Probably the same on the Syrah, if not a little bit longer.
8 to 10?
I don't know how much of it's going to hang around, because it tastes fantastic right now. Yeah, I mean, I would say a good 10 to 12 years if you wanted to hang on to it. It's gonna improve still. But I suspect that most people that have bought it up to this point are probably consuming it pretty quickly.
What's been the reaction at the winery? And in terms of people coming in the tasting room and just internet?
Oh, yeah, it's been fantastic. Again, unfortunately, like I said, we our production wasn't all that huge. So we've actually kept all the stock that we have at the winery. There are little bits and pieces out in the market in retail and in certain restaurants. But yeah, the only place that you can get that wine right now is if you come to the winery.
Do you feel compelled to make more?
We've actually been discussing it. We've been discussing increasing to around 20. So I mean, I'm in the process of looking into what that's going to take, you know, in terms of replacing tanks, added equipment, that sort of stuff. But we, with the 70 acres of fruit that we have right now, we have the potential
that's
to increase.
Good.
So that is something that we're considering.
Now, what else from this portfolio? What else you want people to keep an eye out for?
I'm a real fan of Chardonnay. We make a high-end Chardonnay under the McIntyre label, which I really like. But one thing I would say to people that's actually changed at the winery is we've actually officially opened our Farmstead coffee shop. So it's a piece of property right next to the winery that we bought a few years ago, and we've turned it into an ornamental garden and produce farm. So we're growing all our own produce for the patio, for our restaurant. And we're selling excess out of our produce stand, and then we just opened a coffee shop, so you know people can come in, grab a coffee. We're raising our own pigs and chickens, so you know the kids can go and pet the pigs and check out the chickens. And there's a big chess board, you can play chess. So that's up and running, and so far the response has been great.
And last question, what's under the table?
Well, the only thing I'd say that's new is this year I'm not going to say I will, but there's a good chance I'm going to get my hands on some Tempranillo this year. So that's going to be something that it's something I've always wanted to work with that's grown on the bench. Yeah, we'll see what the quantities look like. It may be a commercial thing. It may be purely a wine club thing. It's going to depend on how much fruit we actually get. But that should be fun.
Let me ask the president what the price points are, please, on the Meritage.
On a retail shelf, will probably be $29 or $30.
Okay.
The Pinot Blanc and the Pinot Gris usually retail for about $26 or $27.
And while it's still left, the Syrah is going for?
The Syrah in the wine shop is $35. If you happen to be lucky enough to belong to the Naramata Store Wine Club, they actually bought four cases from me long before we won anything. So their wine club shipment will include the Syrah.
But do you have a wine club in-house?
Well, yeah, we do. We have a wine club. All the information is on the website. We do a wine club specific wine every spring and every fall. So the wine club members will get an exclusive white in the spring and an exclusive red in the fall, along with some of the other new releases.
And a personal letter from the president. Wonderful.
Probably not.
Yeah. Congratulations, of course. Have yourself a great growing season. I'll see you in the fall.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Garen. Garen Allen, okay. President winemaker at Lake Breeze, Naramata Bench. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna, with some of the oldest vineyards in British Columbia, dating back as far as 1968. Mount Boucherie offers a portfolio of estate-grown, handcrafted wines that pair perfectly with everyday life. You can find details on Modest Butcher, Kitchen and Market, how to shop wine online, tasting room hours and tours, and the luxury accommodation. All the details at mountbouchery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with 5 of the 6 varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. What is your official title? What does it say? Have you got a business card? What does it say? It says Ned Bell, then what?
Card is it's on my WhatsApp account.
All right.
Currently, chef raconteur.
Okay, but I did see that you've signed on to be the spokesperson by BC.
Chef ambassador for the province of BC through the By BC program.
By BC program. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. Is there another one? Is there another one coming?
The By BC program is a fairly large initiative that kind of has dozens of events that it hosts all year. You know, the one that's most exciting that's coming up soon is the BC Seafood Festival.
Gee, nice segue. Very good, because that's why I was calling. This is the 14th or 15th annual, and I've attended up in Courtney Comox. I love those. I love those outdoors, and it was just fantastic. But this is on top of Mount Washington, outside or inside or both?
Yeah, this is the 15th, the 15th anniversary of the BC Seafood and Shellfish Festival, which of course had humble beginnings. The humble oyster, 15 years ago, it was the BC Shellfish Festival, really focused on oysters specifically, and then of course broadened over the years to include all seafood. You're right. The festival for years and years and years was, of course, at Philberg Park and all, you know, Courtney Comox, right on the ocean. I mean, it was extraordinary. But more often than not, the weather was inclement and really, you know, threw us for a loop and
Then you said, let's go to the top of a mountain.
Well, so Mount Washington, as you know, is an incredible venue. I grew up skiing there, having been raised at least in Victoria, born in the Okanagan. But what we decided with Mount Washington was, A, it was a recognizable venue. It has incredible accommodations.
Yep.
It's kind of unbelievable when you're up there in the summertime to think of having an oyster at the top of the mountain and really celebrating the best of the ocean that's right below us. It's certainly, I don't want to say a risk, but it's certainly going to be a journey for us to get everybody to commit to coming up to the mountain from Courtney Comox. We're excited about it. I just did the site venue the site tour, and gosh, it's a beautiful place. It's going to be amazing at the end of June, and I just can't wait.
Are you doing your seminars inside or outside? Are you doing cooking inside and outside?
Both. We're going to have a fantastic sort of host tent right outside the main venue. There'll be things inside and outside, mostly outside, we hope, if the weather is great. But the great thing about having this venue is that we have a weather plan if weather is a bit sideways. And of course, when we were down on the ocean, we didn't have a weather plan. It was, if it was freezing cold and raining out, we had to deal with it.
There was a wind, you know that. Your chef demos outside, like you have done in the past, where you've got a full range of chefs cooking at the same time?
Yeah, so we're going to do them all, not simultaneously. We're going to do them back to back, the master classes, as we're calling them.
Yes.
And they're going to be under the main tent. There'll be a number of them going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, alongside all the other signature events that are happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're excited about the guest chefs we've invited. And yeah, it's going to be a really fun weekend.
We'll run down those chefs in just a second. He's Ned Bell, by the way. Yes, he's in charge of everything. The Oceanwise Chowder Competition.
Yeah, Oceanwise Chowder Chowdown, of course, listeners may remember the chowder competition that Oceanwise hosted at the Vancouver Aquarium and in Calgary and in Toronto. And this is going to be a satellite version of that. So we're going to have a bunch of chefs throwing down their best chowders.
He's Ned Bell, by the way. You always invite your friends along with you. Why not? Well, if you can control who you can hang with in the kitchen, you might as well invite the best people you can. So you have a bunch of locals that like that. I like the fact that there's a North Island conglomerate of chefs that are coming en masse.
Yeah, we have some really great chefs. I mean, as you can appreciate, a lot of chefs these days are really focused on their own kitchens coming out of COVID and still trying to rebuild their businesses after a really challenging number of years. So we wanted to focus on the Mid-Island, the North Island, and the South Island, to be quite honest. So we're bringing up some fantastic chefs from all of those areas, and also bringing over some chefs, friends of mine from Vancouver as well. And honestly, I'm thrilled for the guest chefs that we've invited. We have Chef Garrett Kemp coming from Pier 7 restaurant, which is over in North Vancouver. We have Leslie Stav coming to represent the North Island Chefs Association. We have Chris Hammer coming to represent the Island Chefs Collective, which is based out of Victoria.
Go, baby. Richard, keep going.
Richard Benson, who's coming from Kingfisher. We have a number of chefs from Les Dames de Scoffier, a number of chefs from Chef's Table Society. I mean, the list is long.
Aaron Rail.
Aaron Rail, one of my favorite guys. He's been
Nikkei
a part of the
Ramanya.
Yeah, he is a legend. He's from Courtney Comox. He's been a part of the festival for years and years. He's just a real journeyman, a fantastic guy, and he's coming up once again to really celebrate to celebrate the seafood industry.
Shucker Patty,
the godfather of oysters. He's coming from Toronto. Can't wait to have Shucker Patty come out and bring his signature style and flair for all things Mother Oyster.
Okay, that's very cool. And you, are you going to talk Ocean Wise at the same time and just raise that?
Oh yeah, we're going to have Ocean Wise there. Chef Will Liu, who's coming over, he was the executive chef of Ocean Wise for a short while after I left. We're both going to be championing all things Ocean Wise sustainable seafood. We're going to have a masterclass with him. And of course, I'm the chef ambassador for the province of BC through the By BC program. So we're going to talk about all things By BC. And I mean, most importantly, it's going to be delicious. There's going to be, you know, steelhead, wild salmon, gooey duck, oysters, clams, mussels, Arctic char, albacore tuna, Dungeness crab. You know, I mean, the list is long. It's going to be all the things that swim in our ocean or are grown on land or cultivated in the ocean. So, you know, if you have nothing to do June 23rd to 25th and you want to come up to a fantastic venue and eat some unbelievable seafood, some of the best seafood in the world, you got to join us at Mount Washington for the BC Seafood Festival.
What's the website there?
The bcseafoodfestival.com is the website to go for tickets, of course. And if you follow BC Seafood Festival on Instagram or at Ned Bell on Instagram, you can follow some links to buy tickets there. And, you know, the gala dinner on Saturday night, we have the bounty brunch on Sunday. We have Clam It Up on Friday. We have all kinds of different chef demos all weekend. It's family friendly, of course. We're going to have
bands playing too.
We have fantastic music. I mean, I just came back last year from the PEI Shellfish Festival, and they really throw a good party on the East Coast, of course. Yeah. So I said, we've got to have a good party, too. We've always had great bands at the BC Seafood Festival, but it's going to be fun. It's, you know, Vancouver Island Brewing, Cascadia Liquor, some great wineries. We've got Barche Brothers sponsoring my brunch. It's
nice.
It's going to be fantastic.
I had, by the way, last night I had a Barche Grenache Syrah that stopped time. Unbelievable.
You know they are, and of course they just put out a Piquette in can, and so we're going to we're going to promote their Piquette in can, and they're going to give us some wine for our brunch on the Sunday, and it's jam packed Friday through Sunday, so it's going to be a ton of deliciousness.
Okay. By the way, congratulations on Eliza, your wine bar. Getting into the top 100 wine bars in Canada. No, top 100 bars in Canada, and I think the first wine bar.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We came 39th, and, you know, just really appreciative of the teams that are doing a great job. Emily Walker, of course, absolute legend. You know, she's such an incredible sommelier and wine director, and we have, you know, a number of really strong wine sommeliers that work with us at the inn. We're very fortunate, but Emily is the queen for sure.
I got a chance to reconnect with her at the Lieutenant Governor Awards because we were both judging.
Yeah, she mentioned that. And, you know, of course, you and her just so are so involved in all things Canadian wine. And, you know, it's pretty neat to see Canadian wines on the international stage. And, of course, wine bars be recognized like that. We're really thrilled for Eliza.
He is the whirling dervish of the kitchen. He is executive chef Ned Bell from the Naramata Inn. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
You know, Kate and myself and our two boys, we're moving back to Vancouver sometime later this summer. We're looking forward to it. We're going to, of course, miss living in Naramata, but we're still going to stay involved in our project Naramata Inn up here. Not 100% sure. You know, we're excited about a few opportunities that are bubbling along. Neither of us are looking for full-time jobs because the last 3 years almost killed us. Of course, it almost killed many of us, not literally, or, you know, literally and figuratively. Yeah. We're excited for what's next. We're excited to get back to the big city in a little bit of buzz. You know, we love the Okanagan, but we look forward to seeing family and friends and seeing what happens.
Okay, give them the dates again.
June 23rd to 25th, Mount Washington, BC Seafood Festival. Come and join us. It's going to be a shucking good time.
Thank you, Ned.
Thanks, TDM.
Chef Ned Bell, who is inviting all of us to the 15th annual BC Seafood Festival, which is heading for a new home on top of Mount Washington, Vancouver Island, June 23rd through 25. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with 5 of the 6 varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Outdoor entertainment is happening this summer on the tasting room terrace. You can find the July details and who's playing on the website. And there's a dim sum and Chardonnay pop-up event June 24 and June 26 this very weekend. Dim sum and Chardonnay. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Look at my hair. Oh, my God. This is, you know, when we did phoners, Lisa, you didn't have to worry about it. You could wear pajamas or nothing.
Kind of am wearing pajamas. you might can tell.
Nice. It is your day off, right? It's your day off.
Day off, yeah.
Are you in your own kitchen?
I am.
Yeah, thank you.
I am.
How was your morning? Tell me about your morning. What did you do?
Okay, well, my morning this morning started with a small little paddle board, but the wind picked up on me because, you know, I'm so fortunate to be here in Tofino right on the water. And as a matter of fact, right now, the tide's so high that the water's almost to my deck. So that's a real privilege. But the wind kicked up. So I wanted a 2-hour paddle this morning just to start my day. And it was more like a 20-minute paddle. Nevertheless, super grateful. And then I had a cup of coffee while I sat staring at the beautiful water and had a nice long conversation with my great friend, Nicole Gomez, Chef Nicole Gomez. So talking about the Top Chef World competition that she was in, which ended last night. So I watched the finale last night.
Wow.
Yeah. She's a go-getter, that one.
You mentioned in passing, Lisa, about Tofino. Mm-hmm. It's going through its troubles right now as we speak. The Highway 4 is closed because of fires and landslides and mountains moving. And so there's a logging road that's being used, and it is carnage out there.
With the big
trucks that are there to supply Tofino, you include it, and the hotels and the restaurants and everything. People. Mm-hmm. And medicine, and people who are going to Tofino to surf or something or whatever. It's dangerous right now.
I think so. I think we should all stay off the roads right now, hunker down at home, like we did when we went through the COVID, and let the essential workers get their jobs done. Let the gas get out if we need, you know, petrol, the food supply, whatever it is, the essential workers, the ambulances to get by, whatever needs to happen. We should just prioritize that and put our personal appointments, you know, off for a little bit.
How are you doing for supplies? She is the amazing Lisa Aye, who has her second book out just now called Together at Sobo. I hold in my hand.
Oh.
One of the reasons why we're bothering Lisa Aye on her day off. And that is because of her first cookbook, the Sobo cookbook, which we loved.
Thank you.
That years later, there would be a second book right there. This is Welcome Back to Tofino, Together at Sobo. It's wonderful. It's wonderful reading. It's not just a page flipper. This one requires you to jump in because you recognize and celebrate the people around you, the people who helped you become Sobo.
Yes, I did. It's important to honor those that help you along the way because I say it time and time again, it's very difficult to reach your goals in life and have a full life without surrounding yourself with great support and love. And that's what, you know, that book honors. The first book honored my harvesters, producers, fisher people. And this one honors those every day in my life, helping me make Sobo what it has become over the last 20 years, which, as my daughter said, it's a community gathering at Sobo.
I'm sure that you were asked or thought about or had planned a second cookbook, but you wanted to do it differently. You can see that there was some real serious engagement with yourself about what you wanted to say and who you wanted to write about, and then the recipes, and not shortchange the recipes along the way. It is a great read.
Thank you.
That I continually pick up.
Thank you.
And then I bookmark.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Towards the end of the book, I was able to meet this wonderful, talented woman by the name of Susan Musgrave.
Yeah.
She's a poet. She's a brilliant writer. We are actually entertaining writing the third book, a little more than entertaining. But she came to help me like tie it up in the pretty bow, editing, if you will, and throwing some voice in there and helping me complete the project. But I owe her a pile, and I don't get to talk enough about her in the book. But the next one, we'll talk a lot about friendship and stories and people.
Who's Sandy Barber?
My mom will be here next week. Well, we hope she'll be here. If we can, we'll have to fly her in.
She is the amazing Lisa Aye, who has her second book out just now called Together at Sobo. It's such a magical life. And I'm not, first of all, and I don't glamorize it because I know how hard you work and the people around you, how hard you, and how long it took to establish yourself from that truck to this first book, to this second book. That's an eternity in terms of kitchen time. What's next? Do we know?
Well, I'm going to be retiring our brick and mortar location at 311 Neal Street. That's been home for the last 16 years of Sobo, and we are celebrating our 20th year right now. But the fact of the matter is I have some other things I really want to do. Yes, I want to write this third book and maybe more after that because I found joy in sharing recipes and stories. It appears that people want them, so I can do that. But I really want to reach more people with the Sobo product, so I've ventured out into the world of retail food, I guess we call it, grocery, if you will. I'm trying to get into talks with thrifties, and I've been talking with Whole Foods, and we have this wonderful product called wild salmon chowder that seems to fly off the shelves here in Tofino and is now being sold at Mitch's Catch, Fisherman's Wharf, there in the locker, along with our southern cornbread. And I have about 15 items that I've already developed that are selling very successfully at our location in Tofino. But I'm trying to get the Sobo love to more people across Canada and hopefully into the United States. And as I'm in my mid-ish 60s right now, I think it's time I'd go to work every day. Yesterday, strangely enough, I put a new dryer duck in and worked on my ice machine, and I cooked the lunch service. So I enjoy going to work every day, but there just doesn't seem to be enough of me. And I'm going to have to figure the future out in ways that don't require me to show up into the battlefield each and every day.
Okay, you're stepping into an area that's really tricky. It can eat
Yeah,
its
super
young.
tricky.
But you're leaving a comfort zone of that kitchen, yours, the one you're in, and the one of Sobo. It's a
Scary.
transition. Scary.
It's
That's
scary.
scary.
But change in life is part of life. And if you have things you've always wanted to do, I say, you're not getting younger. Just keep taking a chance. And it doesn't mean that there won't be another little something, to hang my Sobo plaque on here in
Okay.
Tofino. But right now, I'm going to really push hard on learning this other side of business, which is the grocery business. And I'm talking to everybody that I can, and I've met a lot of really wonderful, generous people that have given me advice, like John Rose and Boyd Stevens. He was a food broker, and Linda from Snowcap. They're all trying to work with me to get this project off the ground because we all believe in it. We're all old timers, and everybody kind of knows each other from their past. And for me, there's something to that to take note
Listen,
of.
old timers, small timers, vinyl has come back. Vinyl is back in our lives.
Right. Yes. I
Where's
love that. My kids are both
look at this?
collecting vinyl.
Look at
I love
this.
it.
Look at
It's so
this.
great.
Tom Petty
Love
and the
it.
Heartbreakers live. Come on vinyl.
Awesome. I
Come
just
on.
introduced my kids to Traffic. Low
Oh man.
Spark of the High Heeled Boys, I think is
That's
the
it. Slow
name.
Spark of High Heel. 14
They're
minutes from.
like, wow, that's great music.
Wild Salmon Chowder. What's the brand name? What are you calling it?
Sobo, wild salmon
Okay.
chowder.
Cornbread.
Sobo cornbread.
I will get an amazing amount of feedback if I don't talk to you about food.
Okay.
Lisa,
Yes.
it's prawn salmon season now. We're
Yes,
going
it is.
into it.
Yes, it is. Yes.
What are the damning things that people do to fish that we have to correct and give the fish on your plate its proper due?
Well, a lot of times people mishandle the fish by keeping it too long. Fish should be eaten fresh or properly frozen, which means, wrapping it properly, maybe vacuum packing it. Or what I do with my prawns, because it's such a short season, is I put them in water and literally make them into an ice cube, and then I have them when it's not prawn season. But overcooking seafood tends to be something, especially a prawn or a shrimp, literally 30 seconds on each side, and it's absolutely perfect. I'm not saying serve it raw. I'm saying just don't overcook it to where it's tough.
Maybe
Sure.
if here's the thing about this book and both books. You're not going to do this overnight, friends. It's going to take a lifetime to go through the book and then go back. Or maybe you'll never get to the end of the book. Just start in the middle. You'll find yourself flipping these pages and finding what you're looking for, what your heart tells you, what your mind tells you, and that's the gift of this book. That's what it is. It's part of your life.
Well, thank you. I
Okay, did I get
appreciate
your
those are big words coming from you.
Did I get your website? What's your website?
Right now is Sobo Restaurant.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I'm working on a few new things there with a web person, and
And
I'm
what's
trying to make the name, my name,
Yeah.
Lisa IA, a little more synonymous
Okay.
with the books.
And your YouTube channel again is?
Lisa IA. So it's a
Okay.
capital L. LISA and then capital AHIER, tricky last name.
Gotta go. It's gotta change. It's gotta change
We
this.
gotta change it. Somebody who did it, one of my, oh, James Langford Smith, who makes the Pamplemousse wine that I'm dying for you to try.
I love that stuff.
He's our dining room manager, and he said the other day, Lisa, yeah, you have to get a tag name kind of thing. And I said, well, it's always been sophisticated bohemian. He goes, yeah, but that stands for Sobo, something that stands for you, like Chef Lisa, like Cher. I'm like, oh yeah, right, James. Here I am in little old Tofino, and I'm just going to call myself Chef Lisa. Bet
No,
there's
I got
about a
it. No, I got
thousand
it.
Chef
No, I
Lisas
got
out
it. No, I
there.
got it. It's your Texas roots. It's
What is
Lisa
it?
Yeehaw. That's it. That's what it'll
Yeehaw.
be.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yo.
Well, You know how that
You do
ends.
have to get back to those Texas roots, you know, because people in Texas love that. They love anything that says Texas on it or has a blue on it. So I told Random House, we're kind of missing the boat there if we don't say Texas
Texas.
in,
Work
you know, in
that
some way, shape, or form there. Because
Texas.
we got to work that Texas.
I hope to see you very soon.
I think you will be seeing me pretty soon, maybe sometime in the end of July.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the books. Thank you for the
Thank you for
friendship.
your support.
I'll be checking in, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Outdoor entertainment is happening this summer on the tasting room terrace. You can find the July details and who's playing on the website. And there's a dim sum and Chardonnay pop-up event June 24 and June 26, this very weekend. Dim sum and Chardonnay. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Outdoor entertainment is happening this summer on the tasting room terrace. You can find the July details and who's playing on the website. And there's a dim sum and Chardonnay pop-up event June 24 and June 26, this very weekend. Dim sum and Chardonnay. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Graham Pierce has joined me on Tasting Room Radio. I went back and looked in my previous recordings of interviews with Graham Pierce. It's ridiculous how far back we go. Hello, Graham. How are you?
Hey, Terry. Great. How are you?
I'm good, man. We'll talk about the growing season that's right in front of you in just a second and your releases. But when I started to go back, I realized that when I first talked to you was at Mount Boucherie. And I remember you saying that you had lakes of wine and not enough tanks, and you were scrambling for tanks. You said, this is just overwhelming. It's just unbelievable amounts of wine coming through. So that I remember distinctly. And watching you guys handle that was quite remarable. So Mount Boucherie. But let me get this right. It'll do roll call. You started at Summerhill. Then I saw you at Mount Boucherie. And then you moved on to 10 years at Black Hills?
Exactly, 10 years at Black Hills.
Making Nota Bene and others. And then Time?
Exactly, yeah. It was great to be with Harry for the last couple of years.
And then Kitsch?
Brief stint at Kitsch, exactly. And now landed at Ruby and Naramata.
And of course, I think we all ask the question, why Ruby Blues? I know she can be persuasive, Prudence. She's very persuasive. She leans 100%. In their conversations.
Exactly.
But
very, very persuasive.
But
for
you would also you said check out the portfolio and the vines and the state of the vines, and you obviously liked what you saw.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the interesting thing was, you know, I was at a point where the program at Kitsch was going to kind of pare back and wind down, and I came and I talked to Prudence. And, you know, Prudence and Bayet are, you know, the OGs on Naramata Bench. They've been out here 35 years, you know, just about before everybody else when there was just a few wineries. Back when I was at Summerhill and there was 30 wineries, basically. And they've been planting so many areas along here. And, of course, built out Red Rooster first at Therapy and then at the Red Rooster location where they eventually sold to Peller as well, you know, 13 years ago. And that's when they started Ruby Blue. So the appeal to me was working for people that really understood the business, understood the viticultural side of it. And,
yeah,
you know, we can talk about the challenges right now and even understand the winemaking and the retail side. So, you know, we might not always see eye to eye, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for their opinion because they've been doing it successfully for a long time in this area. You know, they didn't just kind of parachute into it. And like you said, she's very persuasive, and it was nice to come into an operation that was all set, ready to go, you know, with a consistent program, with getting fruit from the same vineyards. And we pretty much manage, we own most of the vineyards where we're sourcing fruit from, and a couple that we don't own we still manage. There's very few that comes that we don't have our fingers on. So all of those things to me were very appealing. I enjoyed my times at the last couple places where I was at, but they were more in the build-out phase, and everything was very fluid, and, you know, we were trying to find grapes everywhere and find our way, and I'm okay with that, but it definitely can be a little bit of a challenge, especially considering the volatility of our market and our viticultural conditions at this point. For us last year, we obviously had that really cold winter, and then going into spring, it was still cooler. We had an amazing summer, thankfully, but we were still way behind. So when we started picking, we were about a month behind probably our usual pick.
But it was a long hang.
Exactly, Terry. Exactly. And so the beauty there was we started picking October 4th, whereas, you know, historically in this area, we'd probably be more looking at, you know, September 15th.
Sure.
So probably a full extra 3 weeks of hang time for varieties like Gewurz and Pinot Gris. And so we were able to pick it. Amazing metrics with really, really good flavor. We did push right to the end and had the compressed season. We finished exactly a month later on November 4th, and then after that, the weather really turned.
The state of the vineyards this year, this amazing year, is challenging, 2023. It may turn out okay, but I think crops are going to be down.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we definitely had a really cold weather incident again, you know, for 2 years in a row. And whereas in the winter of, you know, December of 21, it was kind of more isolated to more northern regions, where last year we saw it all up and down the valley. And I would say it was more varietal dependent than location dependent. So if you're some of the more delicate red wines that we've grown accustomed to growing in the valley that, you know, 20, 25 years ago, we probably thought were fantasy. Some of those varieties like Syrah, which I'm very partial to, really, you know, really took it on the chin, depending on your soil and whatnot.
Okay.
So we're kind of in the middle here because Naramata did all right. We're on some heavier soils, which helped. We had snow cover for the cold weather incidences, and we have some lake effect here. But we've definitely seen it on some of our red varieties. Viognier is okay. Luckily for us, we have quite a bit of Gewurz and Riesling that fared quite well. So we'll be doing okay with those varieties for next year. But it's really, really tough for everybody, tough for the whole industry. The only, you know, the tiny silver lining is we're all coming off a bit of a heavier crop in 22. So that'll kind of help us weather the storm into next year. But it's definitely going to be a challenge for a lot of producers to figure out the economics of this. Because, of course, when you have a damaged vineyard like that, the cost that you're going to put into it is almost exactly the same, sometimes in more in cases, as it is to manage a vineyard that you're going to be getting a full crop off of.
Sure. All right. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want to stop you there because you made a comment on Syrah. Now, if you've grown Syrah in the South, in the pocket, in the Syrah pocket, in the South Okanagan, you know, that Black Sage Road, that's there's some serious heat down there. And you've grown Syrah in the North. And I was one of the judges for the Lieutenant Governor Awards this year. Here's what we talked about at the end, after 500 wines. All the judges sat around and said, well, what were you surprised at? And we all talked about the fact that there were more Syrah awarded platinum and gold than from north of McIntyre Bluff than south of McIntyre Bluff. And that was a surprise to us. Would that be a surprise to you as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely be a surprise to me because you would definitely think that the riper wines maybe would have more judge appeal, but it's not a giant surprise. I mean, I don't know exactly which wines that you're referring to. It just seems like it's a variety that does so well in so many different conditions.
The wine of the year that was awarded out of the 11 platinums named was, in fact, Lake Breeze, just down the road from you. And it was their Syrah that won. So, and that started the conversation. So you just keep sitting on that damn Syrah, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
That stuff you got?
Yeah, I love making Syrah. I love it for the valley.
Okay, he's Graham Pierce. He is the winemaker at Ruby Blues on the Naramata Bench. And that leads directly into it. Normally, I would start with your whites, but I'm going to start with your reserve Syrah. 2021, the vineyard is, I understand, is Soyuz Lake. On skins for a month, wow, before pressing in 18 months in oak. Now, tell me about the oak program there.
It's an interesting wine. I made that at Kitch, actually.
Okay.
So it's a vineyard from Soyuz. That we were working with, really great grower, right on the northern tip of the Soyuz Lake. But kind of my favorite formula for premium wines is about one-third new wood and one-third second fill, one-third third fill. Francois Frere and Loire barrels. The fruit and the oak kind of speak for itself. It's a wine to me that can take a little bit more oak in some circumstances.
Okay, all right.
And still support it. Doesn't really wash it out for,
so,
you know, with that kind of big, fairly, it's not huge, but tannic wines.
Ripe black fruit, really, here, friends. Really ripe. Berries, lots of spice in there. And a cellar from 5 to 10 years. It's a reserve Syrah from Ruby Blues 2021. And the price point is, Graham?
$50 retail.
Fine. Thanks. The commune goo. I'm not a goo guy, but this one I loved. I loved what happened here. From the Smallwood Vineyard, and it made sense when I read the number. 35 years old, this vineyard.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually when Bette and Prudence moved to Naramata. That's the site that they lived on.
Yep.
And you know, we're very friendly with the growers there. Does an awesome job. A little bit of Gewurz and Riesling and Muscat on that property. I think Gewurz is a little bit polarizing to people. I think there's a lot of big fans and then some people that, that just aren't so into it. But I love it. It's such a delicious wine, super, super aromatic. I like that because it's got so much going on. It's not just really like one-dimensional, just like on the rose petals or just on the lychees, but you can pull out a little bit of everything. Some nice floral notes, some orchard fruit as well.
Exactly.
Lychee maybe is the dominant on it at this point. Still evolving a little bit.
I like the mouthfeel to it. I love the mouthfeel to it. I really like the finish. And we had it with some curry dishes, and it was beautiful. Perfect.
Well, the nice thing is, and to go back to the vintage notes, is that, you know, because of the way the year was, we were able to let it ripen longer but still have nice acidity.
Yeah.
So that really balances out. It's got a little bit of a lower pH than I hadn't actually made Gewurz since back in the Boucherie days. So I had to, you know, go back to thinking about how we did it back then. But to me, the problems would be kind of high pH, low acid, flabby wines, couldn't hang them too long. But this year was kind of a perfect example of getting that hang time and getting all that flavor and still having the balance. Because like you said, then when it finishes, it finishes nice and clean. It's not cloying. It's not overly sweet at all. So yeah, we've had a really good response to that wine as well.
Nobody wants flabby, Graham, for God's sake.
No.
Graham Pierce, by the way, the winemaker at Ruby Blues. Now, the Commune 2022, the Pinot Gris, passion fruit, citrus, pears, Granny Smith apples. We had it with pasta and a mushroom, killer mushroom pizza.
Nice. I like your tasting notes, Terry. You could get a side job writing tasting
no,
notes.
No. Okay. Drive me crazy. The Commune 222.
The Pinot Gris. That's one of my favorite wines. Yeah. I'd say, yeah, that's, I jokingly say that it's the most crushable wine in the portfolio right now. It's kind of like what I reach to on a hot day. And it's great with food, great on its own. Pinot Gris is just an amazing variety.
And I need the story behind Forever Young Riesling, the 2022. I love the Christmas. I love the nectarine. And again, a little just a hint of Granny Smith, but there's pear and apricot. And I couldn't wait to pair it with blue cheese.
Totally. I mean, Riesling is such a delicious variety. Got that such a nice acid profile on that. It's a perfect variety for what we're doing here in Naramata. We've got it at the Smallwood Vineyard, of course. And then we have a couple of vineyards right on Corbishley Road as well, too, where it's growing. And thankfully, because it's Riesling, it survived the winter. So we'll get a pretty reasonably good crop out of it this year. I'm not probably a full crop, but it'll do okay. But I love that wine just for the balance, you know. Doesn't finish sweet, but it's got such an amazing mouthfeel with all that acid in there.
Okay. All right. So, Graham, thank you for that. Now, price points. Let me go back to the top of the list. Reserve Syrah.
The Reserve is $50.
Okay. The Commune Gew.
I think it's 22.
Okay. The commune Pinot Gris.
They're all around 22, 25 in the shop.
Same with the Forever Young Riesling?
Yeah.
It's a Ruby Blues, of course, on the Naramata bench. Where did they park the Volkswagen bus?
We got the two Volkswagen bus, of course. We've got the one that's more of like the museum piece now that's out on the road that everybody sees as they're driving down Naramata Road. And then we've got the other one, I think it's a 73, that's all, you know, with all the beautiful paint on it that we actually take to the market. So Prudence took it to the Naramata Farmers Market right in Naramata proper last night, and then we take it to the Penticton Farmers Market as well, too. So it's really interesting. It's probably one of the things that people know us for. People love the Volkswagens, and they're very prominently visible here and on the branding as well, too.
And
so there you go. So and swing by, see the bus, get your picture taken in front of it.
Of course.
Try the wine.
Do a peace sign. And the website for Ruby Blues.
I think it's just rubyblues.com.
There you go. Graham Pierce, astonishing career. Not over yet. Still moving forward. We'll see what happens with the Syrah. I want to follow the Syrah story because there's kind of noses out of joint. Winemakers in the South say, no, we're making the Syrah. But we kind of noticed, we judges noticed, that the Syrahs we were leaning into turned out when they took them off the bags, were all north of McIntyre Bluff. I got to follow that story and see what happens.
There you go. Well, that's an interesting one. I think that it definitely warrants a few more tastings, you know,
specifically
focused on.
Yes.
Origin of Syrah. I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, in some ways, because we really like the wines. That's what we like about the BC wines, is they can be a tiny bit more subtle, a little bit more restrained, not over the top with the tannins. And those are the wines that we really enjoy, not just at a tasting, but we enjoy a bottle of. I mean, those are the wines that a bottle tastes like another, right, which are kind of the best wines, in my opinion. So there we go.
Okay.
One of the best varieties for BC.
Thank you, Graham. Appreciate it very much, man. Carry on. Onward, my friend. Onward.
It's always nice to chat with you, Terry. Take care.
Have a great summer and a great harvest. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Outdoor entertainment is happening this summer on the tasting room terrace. You can find the July details and who's playing on the website. And there's a dim sum and Chardonnay pop-up event June 24 and June 26 this very weekend. Dim sum and Chardonnay. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.